All right. We do exalt the name of the Lord on high, and we have come to worship Him in spirit and truth. Welcome to Calvary United Methodist Church. I'm Reverend Sarah Robinson, and I'm here serving. It is great being in the house. But you know, whoever walks in our doors is a friend of ours. We are so glad that you all are here worshiping with us today. We like our guests to sign in so that we might know who you are and welcome you in a special way. We have some cards in the pews that say, "Welcome, Anna." Those are for our guests, and we would like them to be filled out based into the collection plate. And I know that you will find a welcome here. And what we'll do is pass the peace of Christ. And so if you are new here, expect somebody to approach you and ask you who you are. Let's greet one another in the peace of Christ.
The best part of the day for me. I don't know about you, but I just love passing the peace. Good morning. Good morning, Calvary. My name is Robin Stowers, and I will be your servant this morning. I'm not on? Yes. Oh, I'm on. Very good. Okay. Well, we are certainly welcome that everyone is here this morning. If you would, please turn your bulletins over to the backside and look at the weekly what's going on in our church this week. And if you are a member of one of these committees, then you know what time you should be here this week so that you can take care of business. And also this morning, if you haven't already, the newsletters for the month of May are in. So please, they're at each outlets here. Please be sure to pick one up so you'll know what's going on for the month of May and maybe what's been going on in the past. It's all right here in our newsletter. Along with that, I would like to remind everyone that next month, on Friday night, June 19th, is going to be our fundraiser for our fashion show entitled Buttons and Bows. We'll be featuring the men of Calvary. And we're all looking forward to that. So tickets are going to be going on sale sometime this month. Oh, Miss Nancy has tickets. You'll read all about that in our newsletter. We're going to be asking for a donation from the heart. Because it is a fundraiser, and we are sending Andy up to North Carolina to Lake Junaluska. It is a Methodist retreat, and he will be going to a praise and worship seminar that and helping support that. Also, as we mentioned last week, we have some free Bibles. If you know of anyone in need or if you would like to take some home, they're right outside these doors. They're red, and they say, Bible. So you are welcome to take one of those. Do we have any other announcements this morning that need to be made? Okay, if you would, take out your worship elements, please. And let's have our opening words this morning. Remain here. Remain here with me.
Remain in this soil. Remain in this earth.
Remain among these branches. Remain watered in His love.
Remain where we can grow. Remain here where God loves you. Remain here with us.
Let us pray together. Oh God, remain here with us. Nurture us where we are not growing. Encourage us to see the sun again. Remain here with us, O God. Remain here. Remain in us. Amen.
If you'd stand and turn your hymnal to page 397, we'll sing I Need Thee Every Hour.
Yeah.
verse 3.
I need thee every hour, in joy or pain. Come quickly and abide, or life is in vain. I need thee, oh, I need thee. Every hour I need thee.
Verse 5.
I need thee every hour, most holy one. Oh, man, indeed, thou blessed Son. I need thee, oh, I need thee. Every hour I need thee.
Now then, now everybody can hear me. Last week, Bradley may remember, I had a ball with me, didn't I? And we were tossing the ball around. And what, do you remember what I said about that ball? What, Megan? Sharing the ball, because the ball was a symbol of God's love. That if we just played ball with ourselves, it wasn't any good until we tossed the ball to somebody else. And then we were sharing the love of God. Well, this week I have something else that kind of looks like a ball. Does anybody know what this is? What? What is it, Zachary? Say, a peach. You got it. You got it. It's not a real peach. It's actually not a real one. I couldn't take a bite of it because it wouldn't taste very good. Now, I want to ask us, where does that love come from, and how can we be sure that we're sharing that love from God when we're throwing the ball around and sharing the love? How do we know that that love is from God? Yes, Miss Maddie. We know about that because God is important. Yes, God is definitely important. Well, I'm going to tell you a little bit about this fruit. Now, this fruit, if you take it off of the tree and say you don't eat it, what happens to it? It rots. It goes rotten. But we are sharing this fruit, and we have a beautiful gift from God in sharing in this fruit when it's nice and fresh. Now, if you were to eat the fruit all the way down to the inside, what would you find? A seed. That's right. You'd find a seed. There's a seed in here. And that seed can then do what?
Grow more trees.
Grow more trees. The seed, because that's how we grow. But we remember that this is attached to the tree, and that's how we have to stay attached to God's love. We have to stay attached to God. And that's what our scripture says today. Remain in me. God abides with us. And that's what we want to do. But we also don't just stay there, do we? We plant ourselves in the ground and grow. But we have to remember we can only grow if we're planted in God's love. That's the only way we can grow. Let's bow our heads and have a word of prayer. We thank you for all your good gifts, O God. And I thank you for these children and their families, and pray your blessing upon them today and every day, that you teach us to remain in you and be in your love. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Okay. You're welcome. Come forward. We'll continue our service of worship with the giving of our tithes and offerings. Let us pray. For your goodness, O God, we are truly grateful. We pray your blessing upon everyone here and on these gifts which they bring, that they may be a blessing to us and to the world in which you send us to, that you love. In Jesus' name.
Amen.
Sing with us when we get down there. So just pay attention and it's good.
Down your love, God.
I heard this choir sing that. I have heard that song before. Have you all sung it here before? It's beautiful. It's beautiful. Thank you so much. We want to mention some people before we go to God in our prayer of confession. I want to say how grateful I am today to see Marlene and Lloyd Stone here. After an absence of several weeks, and we know Marlene is still undergoing care and treatment from her, she gets her care and treatment from Abba. We're so grateful to be here today. We miss you when you are not here. You are greatly missed. We should probably also say this morning a word of prayer and thanks to God. Jim Stowers went to the emergency room today, but he is back home now. He had some bleeding, and they got it stopped. But he has, of course, been also quite ill among us for a while, so he needs our prayers this morning in prayer. Who is that? J.D., because of losing his mother this week. Thank you, J.D. and Oh, my goodness, Jack, thank you. Okay, thank you for telling us. Amen. Thank you. All right. Well, let's turn to our prayer of confession, which you'll find on the insert.
Burn it in the fire.
Remain with us so that we might show your glory as we seek to grow again. Feed us with your words so that we might find the new life we need. Amen.
Beloved, God will remain in you.
You will always be a branch on God's vine.
God will always grow with you. Amen.
Our scripture this morning comes from John chapter 15, verses 5 through 8. I am the vine, and you are the branches. Those who abide in me, and I in them, bear much fruit, because apart from me, you can do nothing. Whoever does not abide in me is thrown away like a branch and withers. Such branches are gathered, thrown into the fire, and burned. If you abide in me, and my words abide in you, ask for whatever you wish, and it will be done for you. My Father is glorified by this, that you bear much fruit and become my disciples. Our next scripture is taken from Acts chapter 8, verses 26 through 40. Then the angel of the Lord said to Philip, "Get up and go toward the south, to the road that goes down from Jerusalem to Gaza. This is a wilderness road." So he got up and went. Now there was an Ethiopian eunuch, a court official of the Cadence, queen of the Ethiopians, in charge of her entire treasury. He had come to Jerusalem to worship and was returning prophet Isaiah. Then the Spirit said to Philip, "Go over to this chariot and join it." So Philip ran up to it, and he heard him reading the prophet Isaiah. He asked, "Do you understand what you are reading?" He replied, "How can I, unless someone guides me?" And he invited Philip to get in and sit beside him. Now the passage of the scripture that he was reading was this: "Like a sheep he was led to slaughter, And like a lamb silent before its shearer, so he does not open his mouth. In his humiliation, justice was denied him. Who can describe his generation? For his life is taken away from the earth. The eunuch asked Philip, about whom, may I ask you, does the prophet say this about himself or about someone else? Then Philip began to speak, and starting with this scripture, he proclaimed to him the good news about Jesus. As they were going along the road, they came to some water. And the eunuch said, look, here is water. What is it to prevent me from being baptized? He commanded the chariot to stop, and both of them, Philip and the eunuch, went down to the water, and Philip baptized him. When they came out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord snatched Philip away. The eunuch saw him no more and went on his way rejoicing. But Philip found himself at Azotus, and as he was passing through the region, he proclaimed the good news to all the towns until he came to Caesarea. The word of God for the people of God.
A colleague of mine who was ordained earlier than I was talks about his ordination service in June of 1977. And he writes, in the auditorium at Methodist College in Fayetteville, North Carolina, I and about 20 others were ordained deacons in the United Methodist Church. And deacon was what you had to go through then to become an elder, which is what a pastor is. United Methodist Church preached that night and said something which my friend never forgot. He said, sisters and brothers in Christ, after this night, the Holy Spirit will lead you somewhere you don't want to go. If you wanted to go there, the Spirit would be unnecessary. And I thought of those words when I read today's story in Acts, the lesson about Philip, who was one of the first seven deacons selected and set apart by the laying on of hands in Scripture. Now, I'm fairly certain that hitchhiking in the wilderness was not what Philip and the others had in mind when they accepted the call to serve the Lord. But like the bishop said, the Holy Spirit will lead you somewhere you don't want to go, or at least somewhere you never expected to go, doing things you never expected to be doing. Get up and go, the angel said, and Philip got up and went. He was told no more than that he should head south to the road between Jerusalem to Gaza, not even what he was supposed to do when he got there. This is a recurring theme throughout our scriptures, this business of God saying, get up and go, and people of faith getting up and going. Among those are Abram and Sarai, and you remember they were told to leave the Ur of the Chaldees and go to the land that I will show you, the land flowing with milk and honey. There was Jonah, who first got up and went in the opposite direction, but after that adventure he had with the fish, he finally... The second time that God called him, he finally got up and went. And most famously, there's St. Paul, who after his famous experience of the risen Christ on the road to Damascus, was told to get up and go to the street called Straight. We are probably, as a whole, a lot more hesitant than Abram and Sarah, Philip or Saul. We are a lot like Jonah, apt to run in the opposite direction, or at least ask for specifics of the job and put conditions on our participation. I'm available on Tuesdays. I'll go anywhere, but not there. That won't work for me. I'm not sure I'm suited to work with those people. They push me too far outside my comfort zone. And do you know how God responds to all that hesitation and condition making? Probably how our parents responded when we explained to them as teenagers why we couldn't make our bed or do the dishes or mow the grass.
God stands there and listens, and then he says, "That's nice. Now get up and go." Truly, it's a good thing that God does not fully explain things to us before asking us to respond to the call. If God did, most of us would not say yes. It would be too frightening. And the reason it would be too frightening is that we would foolishly assume that God was asking us to do these impossible and overwhelming, out of our comfort zone things using our own reason and ability, our own ability from the truth. God doesn't tell us what we'll be doing, because the main thing God needs from us is our willingness to go, trusting that when the ministry need appears, the ability to respond to it will appear as well. This is what happens with Philip. He got up and went to the south, to the road that runs through the wilderness from Jerusalem to Gaza. And as he stood there, an Ethiopian eunuch, a court official of the Candace, queen of the Ethiopians, came along in his chariot. This was a powerful man, probably one of the most powerful people in the world at that time. Now, suppose God had said to Philip, "I want you to go and talk about Jesus with one of the most powerful people in the world. And by the way, he's not Jewish. Indeed, he's ritually unclean because of his condition. And he's an African." Now, how excited would Philip have been about that? On the one hand, he might have felt overwhelmed and unprepared. But on the other hand, he may have been like Paul and Jonah, unwilling to go because he didn't want to be involved with one of those people. But God did not give Philip that choice. And he doesn't give us that choice either. We are called to go where the Holy Spirit leads us, whether we want to go there or not. We are called to open our doors, our arms, our hearts, and our minds to all people, not just the people we happen to like and who happen to like us. When God calls us to get up and go, the only faithful response is to get up and go. In the telling of this story, Luke makes very good use of questions. Did you notice the questions in this reading? When Philip heard the man reading Isaiah, he says, "Do you understand what you are reading?" And the eunuch responds with his own questions, and he asks Philip, "About whom is he talking?" These are good questions, and it's a model for us as we talk to others about Jesus. What would happen if instead of trying to bend someone's arm or try to convince them of something, we ask a few well-timed questions? But here's a question in this text that really matters for us today, the very last question. After hearing the good news, the Ethiopian says to Philip, "Look, here is water. What is to prevent me from being baptized?" And in this story, his question really means, "I want to be baptized." And I think this question should be taken by us in a very literal sense. Are we preventing others from being baptized, from coming to faith, from hearing the story of Jesus? This is the same question the early Christians had to continually ask themselves, especially as you read the book of Acts, and you find that they were continually learning to break down walls between themselves. The book of Acts is the story of the first Christians learning to break down the barriers between Jews and Greeks, slave and free, men and women, Romans and conquered people, and the boundaries must continue to fall. Every time we think we're finished, every time we think we have finally gone as far as we can go, every time we believe we have opened our arms as wide as we can open them, The voice comes and whispers in our ear, one more time, get up and go. And the question is, will it be said of us that we got up and went? Amen and amen. I would ask that you turn in your insert to the invitation and the communion prayer on the insert in your bulletin as we prepare to come to God's table. When they needed to hear it, Christ told his friends, I am the vine. No matter who you are or where you are on life's journey, you are a part of this vine. Come to taste and see. Come to find yourself among the branches. Come to this table to grow again. God be with you. Lift up your hearts.
We lift them up to God.
Let us give thanks for the peace of God.
It is right to give God thanks and praise.
We thank you, O God. You remain here with us. You have always been here with us. We rejoice that you have stayed. You have called us in life. You have encouraged us to grow. You've put us in the right soil. You've shone your light more brightly upon us. You've fertilized us with your love. Whether your people noticed, you cultivated your people. You remained hopeful. You remained expectant. You encouraged us, much as you cultivated us from the earth. You radiated sun upon this wheat. You shone upon the bakers, and you loved the harvesters. You remained present in each moment. Until this time when we could partake of these gifts, knowing that you remain in these elements. Transform us, O God, as you transform this bread and this cup, so that we might all grow into your abiding love. On the night in which he gave himself up for us, Jesus sat with his friends around the table, and he took a piece of bread, and he broke the bread. And he said, friends, this is my body, and it will be broken for you. Eat this in remembrance of me, and be thankful. After his supper, he also took the cup, and he said, this is my blood in the new covenant poured out for you and for many for the forgiveness of sins. Whenever you drink this, remember me and be thankful. Amen. The juice in this cup is the sacrifice that Christ made for us while we were yet sinners. That proves God's love toward us. In the name of Christ, I invite you. You are welcome at God's table. You do not have to be a member of this church or any church, but simply to seek to have God's love transform your life and heart. Will you come to Christ's table? First, the choir will be served, and then the congregation.
all stand and turn to page 703 in your hymnals. We'll sing Sweet Low, Sweet Chariot.
And the Holy Spirit will tell us what to do and what to say when we get there. May God's grace, mercy, and peace, God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit rest now and abide with all of you, now and forever. Amen.